Good morning and welcome to The Breakfast Show. You're listening right across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88 wherever you are on the Faith FM network. And this morning you are joined by myself. Sitting across from me, we've got my good friend Joseph. And then beside us, we've got producer Shell, just getting it done back in the studio again after a brief hiatus. You know, we had DJ Rach yesterday doing a fantastic job, but now Shell back in the studio, The Breakfast Show team, getting it done. Joseph, how are you going this morning?
Thank you, Lawson. I am doing good. Good morning to you. Good morning, Shell. Mm. And good morning to our listeners today.
Yeah, of course.
Whether you are driving your car, preparing your breakfast, waking up the kids, or even working your garden. Mm-hmm. Actually, I want to know, Lawson and Shell, what are our listeners doing while they're listening to the show?
Yes.
If you'd like to tell us, please do send us 0491-064-669. We would love to know what you are doing while you're listening to our show. Now, a very important comment here, Lawson. If you are driving, do not text while you are driving us. Stop your car if you can, or if you have someone sitting next to you, ask them, but please do not. It's absolutely unsafe, illegal, yeah, dangerous. Do not text and drive. And good morning to you again.
You sound like someone who has been stung before by the, well, not only, you know, having some good morals about the fact that texting and driving is bad, but have you been done by some of the overhead cameras, you know, the phone cameras? As a currently licenseless person, I will admit my faults and say that yes, and I'm converted. You know, don't touch your phone
Praise
while driving.
God, it'll Lawson. You know, Lawson, I am an absolute pain in the neck with that. I have a very strict no phone policy.
Okay,
while
very
driving.
Convicted.
So if you are stopping at a traffic signal, this is not an opportunity.
Well, coming up in today's show, we have all kinds of interesting news to talk about. Banning of social media for young people. We have an interview with Jennifer Skews as well regarding mental health and the effects of, you know, various things. Probably talking about trust and picking up there, and a Bible study in the Psalms as well.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Joined by myself, Lawson, again, Joseph in the studio, producer Shell, and you guys, the listeners who have been, you know, fastly and amazingly texting us the interesting things that you're getting into this morning. I've got Janelle who writes, good morning, Faith FM family. I'm making breakfast and lunch. So doing some, well, making breakfast and eating breakfast, which is positive, but doing some meal prep as well. Tracy writes in, I'm walking the dog, which is fantastic, you know, getting out in the sunshine. But I think my favorite text that's come through, Suzanne writes in, I'm currently baking strawberry muffins.
Wow.
Oh, yum, bro.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
With fresh strawberries.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Is there a way to transport these up here? Like, I'm assuming that Suzanne is a bit far away. I'm just wondering if there is some way to get us in on the strawberry muffin action. But hey, guys, if you want to tell us, what are you up to this morning? What are you doing? What are you getting involved in? Again, that number, 0491-064-669. And of course, that number as well is the number to text us when you send us an answer to our first quiz question for today. Please, if you can get that, Joseph.
All right. So how many of Jesus's 12 disciples are mentioned as being at the cross when he was crucified?
Ooh.
A, 11. B, 7. C, 3 disciples. D, 1 disciple.
Ooh.
So when Jesus was being crucified, I would actually say which one of the 12 apostles, because Jesus had more than 12 disciples, but which one was actually at the cross, or at least which one, how many did the Bible mention that they were the cross? Where's all the 11? Were 7?
Yeah.
Were 3?
Or only one? Yeah. Hey, that's A, B, C,
I believe
or
you
D.
gave the answer away there, Joseph.
Nah, it's okay. We're giving you some insights. Joseph has given you some hidden insights. So again, A, B, C, or D, 11, 7, 3, or 1. How many how many of Jesus' disciples are mentioned as being at the cross when he was crucified? Hey, we have an amazing prize
for you. It could be one. It could be more than one. I don't know. You have to look at your Bible to let us know.
You have to let us know. 0491-064-669. We've got the God Cares series, Daniel and Revelation, these incredible books that will be amazing devotionals for you, for your family. We'll give you insight into one of the, like, some of the most incredible books in the Bible that reveal the future, give us just some really, really powerful information about what God is doing all throughout history and in the future as well. So again, that number 0491-064-669. I've got some correct answers coming through already. So good job, guys. Again, 11, 7, 3, or 1. 0491-064-669. You're listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM and in the news.
What do we have today, Lawson?
We're talking about Florida. You were just in Florida.
I was just in Florida.
Yes. Spending time over there. What part of Florida were you in?
I was
like all over the place?
No, not really. I was in Orlando and near Miami as well. And Florida, one thing about Florida is that even in winter, it's actually warm. So it's always sunny in Florida, as it seems.
100%. I went there when I was 10 years old. We were there in June. And I remember, like, every day we were there, it was pretty rainy. Like, it was, you know, raining every day. But it was hot. It was muggy, like, high humidity and whatnot. We were hanging out at, like, the Disney World parks and whatnot that was there, you know, at a young age. It was really cool. It was really cool.
A big hug for all our listeners from Florida.
Yeah.
Which
all the Floridians.
This is not a breakfast show there. It's more like a tea show.
Yeah, that's right.
Dinner show.
Yeah, 6 p.m. at this time?
I believe so. Around that time, yeah. Okay. 5, 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shout out the dinner show listeners in Florida. News coming out of, well, essentially out of their parliament there, where they have been deciding on and trying to pass legislation regarding social media for minors. Now, the Republican governor there, Ron DeSantis, who also was a presidential candidate for a little bit there, until he dropped out of the primaries. Now, Ron DeSantis, there was a bill that was brought to him about a month ago that had passed through the Senate with, you know, overwhelming majority there. But unfortunately, it passed through the House, but didn't actually was vetoed by Ron DeSantis, because the original bill was that people under 16 could not use social media, even if they had their parents' consent. So that was the original bill that was drafted and passed by the House. So it's basically a total ban on social media for people under the age of 16. And there's some good reasons to want to do this. I think it has been well documented, the harms and the effects of social media on young people. I'm just bringing up a study here from the Annie Casey Foundation, which is one of the lead researchers in the US into this particular area of study of the effects of things on young people and in regards to social media. When there are high levels of social media use among children and adolescents, it's linked to adverse effects, including depression and anxiety, inadequate sleep, which can disrupt neurological development and lead to depression and suicidal behaviors, low self-esteem, poor body image, eating disorder behaviors, and online harassment. Particularly with, you know, young teens who are vulnerable and whatnot, we saw this number increase. And yeah, it has just been seen by everyone that the effects of social media, not just for young people, but for all people, but particularly for young people who are still in this neurological development stage and whatnot, who maybe aren't fully equipped to handle some of the difficulties that can come with social media. They were like, okay, you know, let's do something about this. Let's ban everyone under 16. Now, that bill was ultimately vetoed by Ron DeSantis. Ron, you know, said, hey, no, this is too far, this is too overreaching. And so they came up with a compromise that should go through, again, pass through the House, and it should go through without any, without any, you know, backlash or whatnot. And that is that now, it is banned to all people under 16 unless there is, consent from their parents. So if the parents consent, they're allowed to use social media. If there isn't, then it is by default banned. You know, you have to get parental consent to be able to use social media. And this comes at a time in which there is some pretty sweeping things happening in regards to social media in the US as well. You know, the ban of TikTok has come up before. You know, Parliament there has been really, really pushed there. And it's kind of looking like it will go through. You know, it's still in a phase of, it's been, you could say, approved. It's still in a review phase and will very soon, you know, if there are no presidential vetoes and whatnot, it might just completely go through. And we were talking a little bit off air about the potential for it to not go through if Donald Trump seizes the presidency. He from his perspective, I don't know where he falls in terms of, you know, maybe going along the lines that is being presented here in Florida of just a sweeping ban for young people from social media. But he was saying in a statement release saying, hey, social media is a game of many companies, companies aiming to do, you know, the same thing, similar things.
No, that's very interesting, Lawson. So we have two big social media topics here, and they're different. Mm-hmm. One is, as you said, the legislation by Florida. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's a great initiative because indeed social media has been shown to produce some harmful effects on the minds of young people. And not, may I say, not only young people, but adults as well. However, with young people, their prefrontal cortexes is not fully developed, Lawson. I don't know if you know this, until the age of 25. So until the age of 25, your brain is still physically changing and developing. And the prefrontal cortex is the part of our brain that is responsible for our spirituality, rational decisions, self-control. So I do believe that this is a great initiative by the government to say, hey, we should be talking about limiting.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, for the purpose of health.
For the purpose of health. Mm. So in social media, it does happen a few other things. So let me just, so this is one thing, health. The other thing is politics. When politics, it comes to TikTok, the main concern of the legislators in America is espionage and undue political Chinese influence on users. Now, Australia has about 8 million TikTok users. The United States has about 140 million. And the population is in uproar because of that.
Yeah.
India has already banned TikTok from their country. So there are two similar things, but they have been proposed a ban for different reasons. But we will continue on that topic in our next news segment.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
And right now it has come time for our next quiz question. If you can get that for us, please, Joseph.
Of course. In the book of Revelation, Lawson, the Lord God said that he is the Alpha and the...
And the what? Hey, I'm doing my Greek classes. I know this is the...
the Greek alphabet? Did you memorize it?
Yeah.
So you know that the first letter of the Greek alphabet is what?
Alpha.
Alpha. And what is the last letter of the Greek alphabet?
Well, these guys have to tell us.
It's not Zeta.
No, it's not. It's not Eta. It's not Theta. It's
not Lambda.
It's not Lambda.
It's something else. Yep. And we want to know if our listeners would know. And do you know that the equivalent of that is the Aleph and the Tav? The Tav is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet.
Yeah. So if you know the answer, again, 0491064669. Can I ask a question? But you have to try really hard not to give away the answer. Is the Tav in any way related to the last letter of the Greek alphabet? Is there, do we see some connection there? Because we know, like, Aleph and Alpha are really, you know,
yes, we
the same
see
thing.
Yeah, no, so
but Tav,
good question.
I'm like,
Tav, not phonetically,
yes,
but symbolically, yes.
Yes. Okay. Hey. Well, if you know the answer, 0491-064-669 can see some answers, correct answers coming through already. And hey, if you answer that question correctly, you go into the draw to win our amazing prize for this week. God Cares, the 2-volume set, Daniel and Revelation. These books are giving commentary and devotion on Daniel and Revelation, some powerful books in the Bible that would be a blessing. blessing to you.
It's a great gift.
But hey, again, that number 0491-064-669. In the book of Revelation, the Lord God said he is the Alpha and the what? 0491.
Fill in the blank question.
064-669. All right. What is happening in the world of news?
We are talking about social media ban. Mm-hmm. Florida decided to ban social media for under 16s.
Yeah.
Now with parental permission, they are able to enter, and I think it's reasonable.
Yeah.
United States is looking at banning TikTok, or they're not really looking to ban TikTok, but they are forcing TikTok to at least sell.
Yeah.
Their, because they do not want any company to have more than 20% stake by a government, which the United States see as a threat or as a competitor nation, just like China. So these are these two things. Now, what do we do with these things? You know, in China, I don't know if you know this, Lawson, there are laws currently that limit the amount of time that young people can spend gaming.
Yeah, we talked about this on The Breakfast Show, gaming, social media use and whatnot. And the ability that they have to do this is because a lot of the accounts that are used over there for gaming and whatever it may be are connected to your, like, person, like your,
it's true,
your so, identity.
But there is a genuine concern about high exposure of media into the brains of young people. Now, in Australia, we are not under any kind of government backed or mandated ban on social media for children. But I wonder, does the Bible give us any insights into that? Do we need the government to tell us, hey, do not spend too much time on social media? You know, social media, particularly, have you ever caught yourself, listener, if you have ever caught yourself on the so famously called doom scrolling, which is when you were just like scrolling, let us know if you ever got, if you ever saw yourself in that situation. I certainly had. And this is because the way that a social media is designed is to really engage your attention as much as possible with the scrolling. Every time that we scroll, you're making a decision. Yeah. You're liking it, you're commenting on it, you're just ignoring it, but you're making a decision. Now, let us talk a little bit about what the Bible has to say, because we live in a world where we have almost unlimited free media access.
Yeah.
We have cell phones, smartphones in our hands, but we understand now that they can have positive effects. You can learn new things or recipes or hummus recipes, probably not better than the ones that I gave, but you can still find them there, ideas. So there's a lot of good things. However, it does have, social media has been shown to cause frustration on people. For one reason, social media is a highly edited version of people's lives. Usually people only post on social media what is nice, what is exciting. So, for example, you know, your friends on social media, they will be posting on, you know, nice vacations. And if you are, let's say, unhappy with your current employment or you're feeling tired, you look at that and actually that can actually make you more tired. Some people look at that and say, oh, that's great that my friends are having a great time skiing, you know, in America. Others will say, you know what? Everybody is on holidays except for me.
Yeah.
So the Bible, Lawson, I believe we don't need a government to tell us what to do because the Lord God gives us wisdom and knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there is a few Bible verses that I wanted to share with you. One of them is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Can you read it for us, Lawson?
Philippians 4 and verse 8, a classic. It's I'm just pulling it up now because I want to get the whole thing, but I believe we're talking about, you know, be anxious for nothing.
Not that one. So I'll read it for me, from my Bible here. Finally, brethren, whatever is true.
Oh, this one. Okay.
Whatever is honorable.
4 verse 8.
Whatever is right. Mm-hmm. Whatever is pure. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is of good repute. If there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So God tells us your mind is the most amazing gift and computer that I have given to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you have to use it wisely because whatever we see will affect us. Jesus says that the eyes are the light of the body. So if we see, if we look at good things, our mind will be good. If we look at and contemplate, not only looking with our eyes, but looking with our minds at bad things, that also have an effect on us. So God says, You know, tip from the creator of the human mind. When you're engaging your mind into something, engage them in what is true, what is honorable, what is lovely, whatever is of good repute. If there's any excellency or anything worthy of praise, do all these things. The question is, does social media have that? Mm. And the answer is yes, to a certain degree, but it also has a lot of worthless things. So sometimes we find in social media, it's like digging for a little bit of gold in a sea of junk.
100%. Mm. Yeah.
That junk takes its toll.
Absolutely. You know, and I just reflecting on what you were saying earlier about seeing other people do stuff and the pressure that you can feel under as a result. I know for a fact, like when holidays come around, the prolificness in my posting on social media increases because I get to do more cool stuff during the semester. No, I'm like, I am not posting on social media at all because I'm just like flat out with study in my room every day.
Not to mention the amount of time that we can be wasting in idleness. And after, I'll tell you this, we usually tend to go to social media when our brains are kind of tired.
Oh, 100%, dude.
Right? Isn't that true, Shell? Shell, have you ever been caught in like doom scrolling? Are you a human being like the rest of us?
Whenever my husband's away, that's when I'm tend to catch myself being in the doom scroll.
And I'll ask you a question. Be truthful. After you finish this session of doom scrolling, whatever long it is, do you feel more energized or less energized?
Dude, depleted? I feel smoked, bro. After that, I'm just wrecked.
Sometimes you feel like, I'm tired, I want to go to sleep, but my mind's just racing or whatever. Mm. And instead of doing the smart thing and putting on an audio book of a good Christian book or something like that, you know, instead you scroll and then you just end up staying awake. It energizes you rather than puts you to sleep, but doesn't give you a good night's sleep at all.
Absolutely. Mm. You know, and I'll tell you this, the Bible says in Psalms, it's a psalm that is one of my favorites, Psalm 16, or rather I would say Psalm 16, in verse 11, in your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. When we're starting to look for joy in other places rather than God, that joy sometimes comes with a cost. And I'll tell you this, for children especially, so listeners that are parents, listeners that are grandparents, I'll tell you something. When our brain gets addicted to that easy, quick dopamine hit of social media, one of the effects that it does cause is that our brain loses interest on spiritual things. Mm. It loses interest on reading the actual Bible because it does require effort. It does require energy. So it becomes a vicious cycle.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Powerful stuff.
Listener, God still loves you. He loves me, Lawson, Michelle, all of us. And not only he still loves us, he never ceased to do so. And that is good news. But before our interview with Jennifer Skews, we have another question. Lawson, what is the question that we are longing to know from our listeners?
Okay, it's simply this. In the book of Numbers, whose staff budded and produced almonds? 0491-064-669 is the number to text if you know the answer to that one. In the book of Numbers, whose staff budded and produced almonds? Okay. 0491-064-669.
All right. Whose staff budded and produced almonds? What person? The person that is holding the staff.
That's it. That's kind of an amazing story because they're just like, they have a staff, like a piece of wood that isn't attached to the ground. And then things start growing out from it.
And in that story, Lawson, it's very interesting because that staff budded because there was a showdown. The people of Israel were contending, saying, we do not want to be led by these leaders, Moses and someone who was holding the staff, which I'm not going to tell you who that person was because that's the answer. But then they're saying, the people are saying, how do we know that you are our leader? You should be our leaders. And then God said, He made that staff budded. Mm. Now, before we talk about that, we want to talk about self-worth. We want to talk about, what are we really worth with our correspondent for mental health, Jennifer Skews. Welcome, Jennifer, to the show today.
Thank you very much.
Jennifer, we are stoked to have you on again and considering all things mental health, you know, the area of your expertise. And as Joseph just introduced, you know, regarding self-worth, regarding regarding how it is that one views themselves compared to maybe others as well. We're looking into that space. What is the best outlook that we can have towards
this? We started with this last week. We were talking about and looking at the worldview and God's view of worth and esteem. But what I am, the question is, which Joseph asked, is what are we really worth? So I found this really good little story, and it's course sources the internet, and it's anonymous. I have no idea who wrote it, but it's apparently a well-known speaker started a seminar, and he held up a $20 bill, and there were about 200 people, and he said, who would like this $20 bill? Of course, everyone's hand went up. But he said, before I give it to you, I'm going to do this. And what he did, he crumpled the $20 bill and he said, who still wants it? And of course, hands went up. And he said, well, before I give it to someone, he said, I'm going to do this. And he dropped it on the floor and ground it in the floor with his shoe. He crumpled it up. And then he picked it up. It was, of course, dirty and crumpled. And he said, now who still wants it? And of course, all the hands went up. Mm. And he said, well, we've learned a valuable lesson today. He said, no matter what I did to the money, you still wanted it because it didn't decrease in value. It's still worth $20. And he said, but no matter what has happened or what will happen, he said, you will never lose your value. He said, we feel as though we're worthless, right? And that's because of decisions that might come our way and what we do in life. But he said, it doesn't matter what happens, you'll never lose your value. He said, dirty or clean, crumpled or finely creased, you are still priceless to those who do love you.
That is a fantastic illustration, Jennifer. I'm actually stealing it. And next time that I'm talking about this topic to someone, I will definitely take
Use
hold of it.
It.
But
yes.
Why do people, you see lots of people, do lots of people come to you and that are struggling with understanding their own worth?
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Why is that? What goes to someone's mind that say, you know, I'm worthless? Why do they come to that conclusion?
Okay. When I see anyone, maybe there's a person who says, look, I've got this problem. It's quite traumatic, but I'm okay with me. But generally, most of my clients will tell me that they're not worth much and that they're devalued. They lack confidence. Yeah. It usually stems back to early childhood.
Okay. So you're saying that traumatic experiences on childhood, like a parent saying either with words or reactions, like you are worthless, this voice echoes throughout
it
our
does.
Lives and we start to believe that. But
from,
I want to know this, from a biblical perspective, is that true? Is anybody worthless?
Absolutely not. I mean, God loves us all regardless. I mean, in the Bible, it tells us he hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. And we all do wrong things. And this is why I see people, because they've done wrong things. They've had wrong things done to them. And this is where they lose their value. And I guess with the Bible, it's a bit of a paradox, because really, when you look at it, we're born with that, what they call that genetic. Yeah, you know, we've got it programmed in, so we'll never ever be perfect, but God loves us anyway. He can see us as perfect, and we lose sight of that, because a lot of people I see are Christians, but they don't understand God loves them no matter what. And they can come to him, and this is where he forgives. And next week we're going to look more at forgiveness, because that's connected to how we value ourselves. But we have to learn to value ourselves, even though we don't feel of value because of what we've done.
Jennifer, it sounds like God, even though the Bible is quite truthful in regards to our nature and to the reality that we are not perfect beings and we do mess up and we made mistakes and maybe we continue to do so, God still places on us an infinite value.
Oh, he does.
The question that I have is, with people that, for example, with counselors that do not know God,
Yes.
How do they even work that concept of self-worth on people? And what's the difference between a biblical perspective on worth versus a worldly perspective?
And that's a good question. Because people who go to someone or they don't know God, they don't have that thing, God loves me even when I mess up and he'll forgive me principle, they're told that they are good enough. You know, they tell them you are okay, it's all right. You know, so they get told what I call a lie, because the person is going, you're telling me that I should tell myself I'm a good person, but I don't feel good, I'm not good, I've done this, I've done that. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard from a worldly perspective to really work with that.
So that is a little bit of a unsolid ground if we are going to just take some other human beings' word for it. Because it is true, our therapist or whoever it is, they do not really know who we are at heart. God knows, and he's the one who tells us that we are of infinite worth. So I think it's in much more solid ground. Now, the question that I have for you, Jennifer, is for our listeners that are struggling from time to time or perhaps often with thoughts of self, worthlessness. Yes. How can they tackle that? What strategies would you recommend that will help us to lower that voice, quiet that voice, and remove that untruthful thought from our minds and replace it by the correct thought that we are of infinite value?
Okay. From the worldly perspective, we're often told if we do the right things, we'll feel good about ourselves. And that's true if we do the right things, but as a Christian, I do the right things by God, not the world. So that's the difference. So it's finding what, helping people to understand, their value regardless of what happens, and that they have a way that they can come through that. And from a Christian, it's from Christ, who loves us, we can do that. But what you have to do is help them identify what is that self-talk, that negative self-talk that keeps them down. And one of the things you said was maybe it was a parent or even a teacher who said, oh, you're worthless, you're stupid, you don't do anything right, you never get it right. You have to help the person identify that type of thinking to correct it. All right. And it's I know I used to, when I first started all this, I used to do something, make a mistake. Oh, you're so stupid. You're a stupid idiot. And I learned to say, I'm not stupid. I did a stupid thing. Mm-hmm. So the principle is to attack what the behavior, not the person. Mm-hmm. And we need to do that for ourselves. It's okay to say what I did wasn't good. What am I going to do about it? Versus I'm never any good. I'll never amount to anything. So the difference in that self-dialogue helps you to come to terms with your worth and value.
That is so interesting. You know, one of the things that I also noticed, and I wonder if this is your experience as well. My upbringing, I was never told that I was worthless, but I was told that other people were worthless because they were doing this and that. And what I noticed that happened is that if I caught myself in a situation that I did something stupid, similar to what that other person saying, I was then concluding, well, therefore I am worthless. I have seen that happening. So nobody told me that, but by us as parents, for example, telling that other people are worthless because they're doing this, this, and that, our children may be able to conclude that they themselves are worthless if they do the same things, which is not helpful.
No, at the same time, if you're taught other people are worthless, that builds your, this is about what we call self-esteem or esteem. You think, oh, I'm better than everyone else then. They do that, but I'm okay. And when we're not okay, so it can go either way. But this is where it comes back to identifying the messages you were given when you were much younger. And correcting that dialogue internally. And it's not being unrealistic. I mean, and this is where the world's thing is, affirmations. I'm a happy person. I'm really good. And if you don't believe that, you can say that as often as you like. It won't work. So you have to look, well, I am a good person because I care for people and I help them, but I do make mistakes. That's a realistic message.
Yeah.
Yes. You see?
I think what's really interesting here, something that I'm picking up on that I think I'm really a real proponent for is the idea of, you know, taking away comparison to others and leaving that comparison between yourself and being Christians and have that perception, having that perception of a perfect higher power who loves us immensely. I think if we compare ourselves to him and come to the easy conclusion, which is, okay, we definitely fall short of God and his ideas. Mm-hmm. But despite that, he loved us. He's always loved us. He's given everything for us. I feel like I'm seeing a real solution here to the problem of negative self-talk because it doesn't, like, you don't go down the route of putting others down. You don't go down the route of putting yourself down, but you go, you know, down the route, down the path of, hey, me as a person before God, yes, I am a failure. Yes, I do struggle with things, but I have the authority of the entire universe cheering me on and trying to enable me to grow and to become better and wanting my, you know, who has my best interest at heart.
Yeah, so, we want to do our best.
Amazing. So I think the application that I'm making it for myself personally is like stop the comparison to other people.
Yes. And we all need
God has for you.
Yes. We all need to stop comparing ourselves to others and because that drives poor worth and poor esteem. We mustn't compare. And this is where it's an individual process. Mm. There's a really good little reading I found recently, and it says, the world's love says, I love you if, but God's love says, I love you even if.
Mm.
And that,
Can you say that again?
Is a good leveler. Okay, the world's love says, I love you if.
Mm.
So if you do the right thing, if you look right, sound right, do right, I'll love you. God's love says, I love you even if.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Even if you make a mistake, even if you do the wrong thing, I still love you, whereas the world will reject you.
And
they'll set you up.
And for our listeners that are parents, that are grandparents, what a beautiful thing to tell our loved ones.
Tell your children,
Even our spouses, too.
Absolutely. And this is where the Bible instructs us to love others. Go on.
Yes. We are needing to wrap it up, but I just wanted to ask one more thing. What is the benefit of someone who is actually putting in practice that replacing that negative thought by the right one? What is the benefits of getting rid of that feeling of worthlessness?
Yeah, you're really rewiring the brain, and it's not being arrogant or pumping yourself up. It's being realistic. We all have value, like that crumpled $20 bill that was dirty. It was still held as value, and we've got to stop devaluing ourselves and value ourselves. When you value yourself, you look after your health, you help others. We're not self-serving. We can. It's looking out and helping others because that gives us value.
Which leads us to, you know, our motto, we cannot serve well if we are not well. Thank you so much, Jennifer. We're looking forward for your next talk next week with us.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.